difficult days, but never mind, he does not become indignant. Difficult days. Can you hear now? All right, can you hear? I said, can you hear? Let us see what we are going to do with this room, as we call it. In the difficult days, we are passing through both as a nation and as a church. We also have God's consolation. One such consolation was the conference held in our city in honor of our late Elder Joseph. We always need spiritual words as we walk the path of our life through a dry and trackless land where there is no water. Our journey through this world needs the consolation and refreshing grace of God, of the Holy Spirit. And I'm certain that this evening the Elder will refresh us with his words so that we may receive strength, consolation and support from God and continue the struggle set before us. We therefore wish the Elder a pleasant stay and strength enough to complete his program here in Cyprus. Above all, however, may we become good soil so that the good seeds of God sown in our hearts may bear fruit 100-fold. Thank you. Your Eminence, Reverend Fathers and beloved brothers and sisters, let me get my watch as well. This is the second time I have attended this event of the Holy Church of St. Arsenios. I passed by it the day before yesterday and saw that the work is moving forward. As I sat here at the table just now, watching all these fine young men and women dancing, I remembered Elder Porphyrios, that blessed man of virtue who has now reposed. As I was told there at Calicia near Penteli, where he had his hesychasterion, his hermitage, he once invited two of his spiritual children who were going to be married. He invited them to the hermitage where their wedding took place, and afterward the violin began to play as well. Someone who was present at that blessed wedding told me that the elder was filled with joy. When he was asked why he was so happy, he replied, "I am happy because I delight in seeing our tradition." Just before I left the Holy Mountain, Your Eminence, a group of children from a private school came to the monastery. I was walking around the courtyard and they had those things, what are they called, headphones? I do not know the Greek word for them. One boy was walking with those things over his ears, and I stopped him. I came upon him in the courtyard and said, "Come here, what are those things you have there?" He replied, "I am listening to songs." I asked, "And what songs are you listening to?" He would not tell me. So I grabbed hold of him by force, removed what he had over his ears, and put them over my own. The moment I did, I was startled. It was rock music. I said to him, "My child, you have come to the Holy Mountain and you are listening to this music." He answered, "Father, I have special permission from my teacher to listen to it. Even when I am in class, unless I have this over my ears and listen to this music, I cannot calm down. In fact, I even have to wear them and listen in order to fall asleep." I was deeply saddened because today, unfortunately, there is a tendency in every sphere to abolish the tradition of Greece and Cyprus, for Cyprus is Greek. Unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, the dark powers of darkness, which are often more shrewd than the sons of light, want to strike at our tradition. I do not know whether you remember what the then United States Secretary of State Kissinger said. Someone brought me the interview he had given to a magazine, and I read what he said about the Greeks. He said specifically, "The Greeks are a strange people. They stand in the way of American plans, and we cannot come to an understanding with them, but we told the appropriate councils that we do not need to wage war in order to destroy them. We will wage a different kind of war." And he told them, strike at their language, strike at their tradition, and strike at their religion. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, we must be extremely careful. Today we are facing an invasion, an assault by alien powers seeking to subjugate our tradition, our way of life, and our manner of spiritual life. A person can live in the world, but he will encounter many difficulties. Those of us who unlock the hearts of many people already see that their problems are not only numerous, but very difficult to solve. They are grave problems that lead to a dead end. The reason is that, unfortunately, television and the mass media promote an invasion of foreign things and foreign customs. We must therefore remain faithful to what we have received. It is a blessing that the Holy Mountain exists, the only truly monastic commonwealth remaining on earth, because there one can see the beauty and grandeur of the spiritual life. Thankfully, this life also reaches beyond the Holy Mountain. That is why we must visit the monasteries. As I have said elsewhere, in these years through which we are living, the hour of monasticism has come. This is not because monasticism intends to impose the monastic life upon the world by force, but because people have become so alienated and have strayed so far from life's true meaning. That monasticism, through the living witness of its presence, must make them reflect, shake them awake, and lead them to become truly serious and conscious of their responsibilities. The president of Russia recently came to the Holy Mountain. What can I tell you? It made a deep impression on me. He brought about 100 bodyguards with him, and you should have seen them, Your Eminence, there before the Aksyonestyn icon, all of them nearly 6.5 feet tall, making full prostrations before the most holy Theotokos of the Aksyonestyn with such longing. And there was Mr. Putin, who had been an official of the KGB before becoming president of Russia. Do you know how he became a man of God? In fact, when I met one of the ministers of Greece, he told me the following. Father, we went to Russia with Mr. Karamanlis, and at the dinner hosted for us by Mr. Putin, I happened to sit beside Mr. Putin's wife. She told me that she goes to Holy Confession, their children go to Holy Confession, and the whole family shares the same spiritual father. And what do you think caused Putin to reflect deeply and return to Christ? He had a country house, and an electrical fault in the wiring caused the house to catch fire. Absolutely everything was burned. Even some thick plastic light fixtures that were there disappeared entirely in the flames. But he had a cross. A cross his mother had given him. It was not that he believed, but he wanted to keep it because it had come from his mother. He said, I was deeply saddened. It was a very small cross, and I thought, what a pity about that little cross. I wanted to keep it. I do not care about the other things. I can replace them. Then as he stood there upon the ruins, just imagine a house after a great fire, he found the little wooden cross completely untouched. It had not burned. From that moment, he began to reflect deeply and became a man of God. When he came to the Holy Mountain, he spoke from the heart. As you know, speeches are sometimes written for presidents and other prominent figures, and they merely recite them by rote. But he spoke from the heart. He spoke twice, once inside the church and once in the hall of the Holy Community, as you remember, and said, Russia owes a great deal to the Holy Mountain. I came to venerate the most holy Theotokos of the Aksyonestyn and the Panagia Portaitissa, and then to go to the Russian monastery and venerate the holy skull of Saint Panteleimon. I have very great reverence for the most holy Theotokos. We owe profound gratitude to the Holy Mountain and to Greece, because out of Russia's 150 million people, 130 million are Orthodox Christians. Since we passed through communism and saw the wretched condition into which our homeland fell, our watchword now is to return to our tradition. I came here at the behest of the Russian people to come and venerate. Indeed, we have encouraged our people and given them an impetus to return to their roots. And I say in turn, if the Russians, who, as you know, received Christianity from us, from Constantinople, are beginning to understand that they must return to their roots, then what about us who possess this tradition in its uncorrupted form? And when we speak of the patristic way of theological tradition, we do not mean these songs, though they too are part of tradition. In its essential patristic meaning, tradition is the way of sanctification. This, my brothers and sisters, is precisely what we ourselves possessed. We received it and we must hand it on. We must therefore become spiritual people. This must continually occupy our thoughts, and we must always carry this pain and concern within us. The pain we carry must be transformed into constant supplication before God, praying as much as we are able and moving beyond outward forms, though these two are necessary. For Christians to bear spiritual fruit within themselves, they must strive against sin and learn to love prayer. Sadly, in the world, we can often spend hours eating, watching television or chatting. The fashion now, as you know, is for the young and beautiful to go out at midnight and return in the early hours of the morning. This has become the normal routine while we do not pray. That is why the sayings of the Desert Fathers tell us that if you want to know indirectly how much someone loves God, do not ask him outright, because he may be embarrassed to answer you. Ask him indirectly, how long do you pray? From his answer, you will understand how much he loves God. And so, my brothers and sisters, these are difficult times. How difficult are the times we are living through? Conditions are difficult throughout the world because sin has multiplied greatly. Today, sin is regarded as a way of life. You see, I did not even know what a nightclub was, as I told His Eminence. Once we celebrated an all-night vigil with the Holy Belt in Lamia. It began on Friday and we finished at 5 o'clock on Saturday morning. We went to the hotel with several other monks. I heard a noise, music and an uproar. And I was frightened. I looked all around this way and that, but could see nothing. I wondered, what am I hearing? What is all this? As we went farther on, we came to a basement through a glass wall in front of me. I could see clouds of smoke and a large hall packed with people. They were dancing and swaying about, and there was such noise and commotion that I became deeply troubled. I said, if this is entertainment, then what are we to call something that is not entertainment? Things are difficult because, as you can see, the ways people seek entertainment, occupy themselves, and work have all become distorted. A person becomes someone different, estranged from what a human being is truly meant to be. That is why an alarm must be sounded, so that all of us will reflect seriously. Our children today find this chaos waiting for them, enter into it, and then we face so many tragedies. We meet mothers like one poor woman who came to me while I was in Athens. She said, Geronta, I cannot sleep. I have reached my limit. I go to bed at 11 and get up at 1. Has my son come home? No. I lie down again, sleep, and wake up an hour later. Still, he is not there. Will the emergency police bring him home? Will they bring him back drunk or injured? Will someone telephone me from a detention center and tell me to go and see him? But even when he does come home, she told me, how would I dare to ask him anything? If I ask him, where were you until so late, he will beat me. Today, these are not isolated cases. Such events and such scenes of family life are multiplying, and sadly, they are coming to Cyprus as well. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, we need much prayer. Prayer offered with pain of heart, that God may have mercy on us. Things are difficult. For today, within the family, the slightest thing can cause an uproar, and divorce is immediately proposed because people no longer bear spiritual fruit within themselves. Do you think people in former times had no problems, yet they showed patient endurance? I remember women I knew whose husbands beat them severely at least once a week. Once I asked a neighbor of mine, why do you not leave him? And what did she tell me? She said, because I have had children with this man, I will endure him patiently. Those uneducated women possessed a theological formation within themselves precisely because they understood the meaning of the cross. They understood the meaning of spiritual life and of humility. They humbled themselves, yielded, and kept their families together. Today, at the slightest resistance, there is an uproar and turmoil. But things cannot go on this way. And so, my brothers and sisters, I beg you, we need a spiritual awakening. Each person must examine himself. We must make a proper and sincere confession so that the grace of God may begin to illumine us and teach us humility. You see, humility is what resolves every problem. Consider Saint Simeon the Stylite. When he went up onto his pillar, the other fathers of the Skete began to speak about him because he was the first to be illumined to undertake this kind of Assisi. Some said he is deluded, others said, who knows, perhaps he is peculiar, still others called him eccentric. Others said he did it out of devotion. Then some of the discerning elders, there was a gathering of the elders at the Skete, said, Fathers, we shall send someone to tell him to come down, saying that this is the command of the fathers gathered in council. If he humbles himself and agrees to come down, we shall tell him to remain where he is. But if he says you do not know what you're doing and resists, then he is deluded. So a representative of the fathers gathered in council went and told him, Abba Simeon, the fathers ask you to come down from the pillar because they are not at peace. At once, while still atop the pillar, he replied, May it be blessed, since the fathers are not at peace, I shall come down. The representative then told him, Remain where you are and continue, because the discerning fathers saw that humility is the true image of spiritual life. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, today there is egotism. You see, he walked past and did not speak to me. He passed by and looked at me askance. He passed by and paid no attention to me, although he paid attention to someone else. We suffer from all these problems because we lack humility. And humility is a grace of the Holy Spirit. We attain this if we strive to enter properly into the life of the church. Here in Cyprus, as you know, something often happens. You become enthusiastic very easily and begin living a spiritual life. But then you forget all about it and return to grilled meat and beer, as someone once said to a Cypriot. We must take care to maintain steady spiritual labor so that we may increase the grace of God. Because as you see, difficult days are coming. They are coming now while we are passing in a particular way along the narrow and afflicted path. So we must be watchful and hold fast. Because as you see, there is constant despair, disappointment, discouragement, and emptiness. I encounter all these things in recent days as I traveled around our island. But why is this so? A person of God must possess patient endurance and strength, and must see things with an illumined nous, the spiritual intellect. When illumination comes to the nous, he will understand God's fatherly providence. As the sayings of the Desert Fathers tell us, even if heaven and earth were joined together, the person of God would remain unmoved and untroubled, because he has experienced divine aid. What does this mean? He has experienced the providential presence of God. and his experience is immediate because he has personally felt God's providence within himself. This is why the fathers emphasize what is called the faith of theoria, that is the faith born of divine vision. What is this faith or vision? It is when each person has his own particular experience of divine aid and beholds God through the divine uncreated energies of God within his heart. Then he becomes a true person. Then his inner spiritual powers are brought into harmony and he becomes complete, lacking nothing. Such is the person of God. Therefore, as much as you can, remain close to the church, close to our Christ, and close to our saints. Now that this conference on Elder Joseph the Hesychast has taken place, we have seen the grace found in people of God. We have seen what sweetness and beauty can flow from a man who had been cast aside and hidden, yet whom the grace of the Holy Spirit revealed. Today he is truly a man for the whole world. See how fragrant our faith is, Orthodoxy. Consider Father Paisios. The other day I met one of Father Paisios' disciples and he told me, someone came here to my hermitage and said the following. I was traveling toward Thessaloniki when a monk hitchhiking signaled for me to stop. I let him into the car and although he did not know me, he told me my name and said, "My child, you have cancer in your lungs. The disease is in its early stages. Go and be examined and you will catch it in time." While the man was still speaking with him, the monk disappeared from the car. He was stunned and frightened. He knew nothing about such things and had never heard of Father Paisios. He sought out some people connected with the Holy Mountain, and they brought him several photographs. As soon as he saw Father Paisios, he said, "That is the man. You see, our saints have not simply departed and vanished. They are with us, they are present, they are fathers who care for us. We need only call upon them and ask for their help, and they are with us. This is our Orthodoxy, this is our treasure. Orthodoxy is not an idea, my brothers and sisters, it is not philosophy, nor is it romantic nostalgia. Orthodoxy is a lived way of life, it is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the world. Therefore I pray that by the grace of our most holy Theotokos, all holy, the Queen of all, whom you will have as your protectress, her icon may illumine us all, so that we may truly make this the guiding principle of our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." How beautiful. Were you not glad that you came tonight? You heard this beautiful traditional music. Some people come to us and say, "Father, do not do this, do not do that, do not do the other, long live the monastic life." But that is not what we are saying. John Chrysostom says very clearly, "Enjoy everything but abstain from sin. You may enjoy everything in this world except sin." Is this not a beautiful way of life? Must we go and watch people gyrating and carrying on acting, forgive me, like clowns and take that seriously, instead of devoting ourselves to the worship of God? Then you will see that His grace will be with us and we will perceive and feel the fatherly presence of our Christ. Amen.